expensive growing replacements and feeding cows year-round. If we look at the entire beef system integrated over the cow-calf operation and feedlot and so on, about 70% of the nutrients go to the cow-calf herd, 30% to post-weaning and slaughter. So feeding the cows year-round is expensive. This is fall grazing in my own herd, and that's not so bad, but some days in the winter it takes a fair bit of hay. So I mentioned that 70% of the nutrients in the system go to the cow-calf herd, and 70% of those nutrients go to cow maintenance. The other 30% in the cow-calf herd go to lactation, gestation, and other things. And so that's conceptualized here in this diagram. And again, about half the nutrients in the system go just to keeping the cows warm. And again, these are ballpark figures, and depends on whether one has a stocker of operation and so on. But growing and finishing of the calf, about 18%. Lactation by the cow is a big one, other than maintenance for the cow-calf herd, calf maintenance, heifer replacement, and so on. And these days, in addition to thinking about the direct costs of beef production, like feed, labor, infrastructure, capital, and so on, we need to be thinking about the indirect costs, like carbon footprint, greenhouse gases, and potential pollutants. So half of the feed energy in the system goes to cow maintenance, and for that half of the nutrients, we get no increase in beef. In fact, we get older and older cows, which become less and less valuable. So, again, this contributes to inefficiency, and so the idea is to just get rid of the cow herd. And while the ultimate product is beef, for the typical cow-calf operation, the products are calves, cull cows and bulls, and children, lifestyle, and so on. So we've been doing sex semen experiments over the years, and this is a set of heifers produced by sex semen and bred to X-bearing sperm, producing another generation of females. And so theoretically, if sex semen worked perfectly, one could have that perpetuating without any males being produced. So the theoretical system, eliminating the cow herd, is something that was proposed years ago by Jack Whittier. And there's really nothing new in my presentation other than putting things together that other people have done. John Brethar at Kansas State did a lot of work on the single calf-heifer system. In any case, this theoretical system, we have each heifer replacing herself with a heifer calf, wean early, and then fatten for two and a half months, and slaughter the heifer before she reaches 30 months of age. So to look again at this system, one has to start somewhere, this system partly is forage-based and partly grain-based. So the way I started the system is with some yearling heifers, and then those calves kind of feed back to the next generation. Now, one can start anywhere along this continuum, and in fact, the system doesn't work perfectly, so one can add replacements at any place along this continuum. But in any case, the idea is for most of the animals to produce a calf before they're slaughtered, that perpetuates the system. And again, we try to take advantage of forage for most of the time and mostly grain at the other end. So a little bit about sex semen, and Dr. Vishwanath will be presenting more data later. But in any case, accuracy is greater than 90%. The fertility is lower than normal. When you do everything right, it's an order of 90% of controls. Obviously, sex semen requires AI. And if we're going to get a lot of females, we need to do the repeats with sex semen as well, and that requires heat detection and another step. As I suggested earlier, it's not entirely self-sustaining. First, one doesn't get 100% heifers. Some calves die. Not every heifer gets pregnant at least early enough in the system, so one does need to add replacements from somewhere. Now, there's no shortage of heifers for replacements. We slaughter 3 million beef heifers every year, and another source of replacements is late calving calves, of which we've heard are not very profitable or less profitable over the lifetime of the system, but they may fit in these kinds of systems. So, again, for either starting such a system or maintaining it because it doesn't work perfectly, there are a lot of options as to where to get those animals. So when I discuss this system with producers, the first thing that comes up usually is you're calving heifers, everything, you're only calving heifers. And we calve over 100 heifers a year in my operation, and we just don't have problems calving heifers. We haven't done a C-section in 5 years. It's very different from the last century because one can select low calving difficulty service sires. With this system, heifer calves average 5 pounds lighter than the bull calves, so that helps with the dystocia. Of course, one does need well-grown, well-managed heifers, but we don't find that to being particularly onerous. There are a number of fringe benefits to this system. A big one is there are no first calf heifers being bred for their second calf in the system. These are the most difficult critters to get pregnant, and on the ranch, you just eliminate them. You have no old cows to get rid of cancer eyes, mastitis, feet, and legs. There's an occasional steer calf, but you decrease the need for castration. A huge benefit is one greatly decreases generation interval because you're selecting every generation. Well, my current cow herd, the average genetics is 7 years ago, okay? With this system, you repeat every year. And I'm not going to spend any time on the genetics of this, but we'll be selecting for very different things. We don't care about longevity anymore with this system, for example. And we do maybe care about some other things. So the big thing is there's no cow herd to maintain. And that potentially greatly increases the efficiency. All animals are growing in this system. One gets more beef per unit feet, at least theoretically. So the back of envelope calculations would suggest we can get the same amount of beef with about 30% fewer feed inputs. And that also means more beef per unit of methane and waste products and so on. There, of course, are fringe costs to this system. One is calving heifers, and while I said it's not the same as calving heifers used to be, it's not the same as calving cows. A big one is the fertility of sex semen is lower than conventional semen. Now, this is improving rapidly, and there could be continual improvements, but still, that's a big cost. Another one is pregnancy results in hormones from the placenta that accelerate bone hardening. Now, this doesn't do anything for the carcass, but the animals appear older from the standpoint of packers. We're studying that a fair bit. Another problem is males gain weight more efficiently than females, so these heifers will not gain as efficiently as steers. Now, one can make up that to some extent with implants and so on. So, will it work? So, on paper, it appears profitable. One of the problems is when I started this, bred heifers were awfully valuable, and I was quite disciplined and didn't sell them, but I could have made more money doing that than having this program at this point in the cattle cycle. Work done at Kansas years ago looking at these systems, however, would indicate that over the years, the single heifer system not only was the most profitable on the average, it had the least variability from year to year. One is stuck with not having 100% sustainability with the system, but this can mesh with a conventional cow herd, and in fact, I'm doing that, as I'll explain in a little bit. So, to test the system, spring of 2013, I bought 54 commercial black yearling heifers, bred them with polled Hereford sex semen, bought a polled Hereford cleanup bull, and those calved last year. And were slaughtered last year. And then I started with a second set in the spring of 2014, and this is all cooperative with Colorado State University. One does need two sets of animals to have yearly income and so on, and the sets are offset by 12 months. And just to illustrate that, in my own program, I started with a founder set in 2013, bred them in 2013. They were slaughtered in 2014. Started with a second founder set the following year. Those were slaughtered, will be slaughtered in about 6 weeks. Calves from founder set one were bred this spring. They'll be slaughtered next year. Calves from founder set two have just been born this spring. They'll get AI next year and slaughtered. And with this kind of system, one has a product every year, but one has two sets. And then just to cement the realities of the situation, currently I have three sets of animals from this program. I've got founder set two, which will be slaughtered in about 6 weeks. I've got the calves from founder set one, which I bred this spring and are now with the cleanup bull. And then I've got calves from founder set two, which were just weaned and will be slaughtered in 2017. So it gets a little bit complicated in having different sets of animals and so on, but everything is growing. So these are the calves from the founder set one, from the polled Hereford bull, nice healthy crossbred calves. We didn't start out too enthusiastically, so bred these with sex semen, and we used appointment breeding, as I'll explain in a bit, only got 38% pregnant. And that was probably because the sex semen from the bulls we were using was not very fertile. And that's a big problem with first fertility of beef semen itself, and on a particular bull with sex semen. But in any case, 20 calved to the sex semen, 19 were females, 23 calved to the bulls, 11 females. I did have 13 steers to sell, and I had 11 heifers bred later open to sell, and made a fair bit of money on those, actually. So that's a sort of a fringe benefit, I guess. We did fence line weaning, and that worked very well, these calves on this side, cows on that side. And so we use all the tricks of the trade, crossbreeding, fence line weaning, early weaning, and so on. Things went a little bit better with set two. We bred 57 heifers with sex semen, two technical problems. That's not quite honest. One was a free Martin, as we found out, and one that lost a cedar. But of the other 55, we had 47% pregnant, which is about what one can do with fixed time AI with sex semen. 20 were rebred with sex semen 17 to 23 days later, the repeats. So this is founder set two. So a little bit about time AI with sex semen. This particular set, we used a 14-day cedar long program, gave prostaglandin day 30, a GnRH AI at 66 hours, and we used the Estrotect patches. Of course, one can use a number of devices. So if they were tripped, and this is the program that Jordan Thomas and Dave Patterson put together for sex semen. So if they were tripped, we bred them. If they were not tripped, we bred them the next day. Those that were tripped, we had 45% pregnant. 13 of them were not tripped and bred the next day. 7 out of the 13, or 54% of those, became pregnant. And those that had tripped overnight were the fertile ones. So 7 out of 9 of those got pregnant. So again, you can do fixed time AI with sex semen if you breed those that don't have a trip patch at the assigned time on the next day. So the overall pregnancy rate again here was 47%. So we have been looking at the efficiencies of reproduction. We're studying the economics, studying the whole system. And most of those data are just not analyzed yet, but here's an example of carcass characteristics. We had 27, this is founder set one, and again, these are commercial black heifers that I had no information about when I bought, other than they look good in the sale barn. 27 of them were considered on the young side, 15 on the old side, and the way that's decided by the packers is counting broad numbers of broad teeth and whether they appear to have hard bone. But when we look at the objective measures of the carcasses, marbling scores were virtually identical. In fact, they were a little bit better for the ones they call older than 30 months. And then the Warner-Bratzler shear force, again, is just no difference. And by the way, I did have birth dates on a few of these, and some of them were definitely under 30 months, but the packers will use whatever criteria they can to decrease the much amount they pay for the carcasses. So lessons learned from this program so far. So the few steer calves you get and the late pregnants that don't fit the program for the following year are a nice source of income. On the first set, I tried some creep feeding, but on the second set and a little bit with the first, we just put the calves with the cow, with the heifers that are being fattened in the feedlot for the first couple weeks. And, you know, when you start them on a, they don't go on a finishing ration right away, and that way the cows teach the calves to eat. So that's just a little trick that has worked out very nicely. We've learned that packers will discount carcasses whatever, for any way they can. There are synergies with the conventional cow-calf herd, and it is difficult to get more than 70% of the heifers replacing themselves with heifer calves, and that's for the obvious reasons. 10% of the sex semen is males, and that can be improved. Sex semen, there may be a 95% product eventually. Fertility is lower with sex semen, and that hurts. With the cleanup bull, only half of them are females. And some are pregnant too late to fit the program, and one gets some deaths and so on. So for all these reasons, it looks like about 70% is the limit, unless one goes to something like sex semen. It's twinning, sorry. So synergism with a conventional cow herd. I breed this all-heifer program, heifers 3 weeks after the cow herd. Heifers born too late for the main herd are great replacements for this program, and that we have no known birth dates and can spread out the work over the year. Comparing systems is very difficult because it's an apples and oranges system. With the all heifer, no cow system, we have 30-month carcasses, a few steer calves, some latent non-pregnant heifers. With the conventional cow calf, you have feeder calves, cull cows, the late pregnant, non-pregnant heifers, and so on. And then looking at these corollary issues, it's difficult to compare. But we're working at it. So a variation to simplify things is just buy some heifers that we're going to go in the feedlot and breed them. Those that get pregnant become your cow herd. Those that don't, you're going to put them in a feedlot anyway. And so that's a great simplification. You can do it with or without sex semen. This system has been proposed years ago. And again, over the years, was a very profitable way of beef production. So with that, I'd like to acknowledge the animal sciences faculty at CSU, especially Jack Whittier, Jeff Steiner from the experiment station, graduate students, Branch Q, and the banker. Thank you.